Welcome back to the show. I am so glad you are here with me, friends. I have a buddy of mine joining me today, LW from Liberty Warrior Nation. And we are talking about so many different topics, like the train derailments. I wanted to get his perspective on that. And also, we're talking about truth versus conspiracy. We jump on that topic on this episode. So it's a good episode. I hope you like it. Please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, you can always have a Rumble brand, or you could go to the website at theambermayshow.com, become an angel investor and donate whatever you think you can donate. That would be very helpful towards the show. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. I always add more content to Telegram, so join me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social at Amber May or Frank Social at Amber May, so join me as well there. But coming up next is my buddy LW. Excited to have my friend LW back. I absolutely love having you on the show. I love doing shows with you. Welcome to our program.
Well, thank you, Amber. It's great to be back. And, you know, it's hard to keep up with everything that's going on, not just here in America, but around the world. And in my personal life, I just went through a move. So I got set up. This week has been just a challenge trying to get the house clean and everything organized. And then back on track for doing shows. I kind of miss the regular routine that I was doing 4, 5, 6 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Your programs are great. I love listening to your programs. And if people want to find you, they can go to LibertyWarriorNation.com. You're on Rumble. You're still on YouTube, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube Channel 5 now, and we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Truth Social. So, you know, Truth Social has been growing for us, and Twitter's been growing. Rumble's been growing. A lot of people starting to find us. And, you know, we were having a conversation backstage about reality versus fantasy or conspiracy. We're talking about what I see personally happening to this movement. A lot of people are starting to kind of walk away. People are checking out. One other thing that we got to realize, Amber, is during 2020 and 2021, there were a lot of people that were imprisoned. They were imprisoned in their own homes. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't go to the grocery store. There was a lot of things that they couldn't do. And so that caused a lot of people to stay at home. And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to jump on the internet. They're going to jump on television. They're going to be out there searching for answers, searching for information when it comes to the nasty cough, to the fun little vacations people were putting in their bodies. And so that was a huge motivation and drive for some of these influencers and personalities out there to just completely mushroom and blow up and get massive. And so what I'm seeing right now is there's just a lot of people going back to their lives, and they're enjoying them. But this is the problem. This is the problem that I see, is the fact of the matter that there is a lot of work left to do. Eons of work, decades of work that still has to be done. A lot of these people, since their lives have now been freed up to go back to work and to live life, they're checking out again, and they're walking away from politics. They're walking away from our government, whether it be local, your school board, city council, county commissioners, your mayors, your state representatives, your congressmen and women, your governor. A lot of people are just kind of checking out again. And this is what got us in this situation in the first place.
Well, I agree. Got us here, and there's still a lot of work to do. But the reason why some people are checked out is because all these promises were made to all of us and nothing's come true. Like, I'm done with believing. I have all this evidence. Everything's going to change, and then nothing changes. I'm grateful for the 2020 audit. I'm so grateful we had it. But nothing came of it. Like, it didn't fix anything. We still have a broken election system. And it's not an easy thing to fix because it's been infiltrated for many, many years. And some of the people who have benefited from the infiltration hold office. It's really hard, not impossible, but really hard. But we know this to be true around the world. We know that elections have been captured around the world. And if us as citizens don't figure out how, it's up to us as citizens. You know, we need to partner with good people that sit in government, because God placed us for such a time as this. If he could place Esther as a queen in a country to save people that were going to perish from people who hated her nation, the Jewish people, and if God could put David on the throne and God could put Daniel in front of kings, God could put people in strategic places, and we just have to partner with those people. Now, I don't know how we're going to fix the election system, but I know it needs to be fixed. But when people check out, then things are going to stay as usual. And I think people are checking out because, A, you know what? There's still a lot of good and fun things to do in this country. It's not all bad. And that's the thing. Sometimes some of these shows that we're watching, it's just all bad all the time. Even the news is all bad all the time, right? Even mainstream media news is all bad all the time. But there's still good to be had. And I know I experienced it over Christmas. I got to go be with my family and go tobogganing. That's not bad. I got to enjoy the nature that God gave us with the snow, right? And so I did something new we've never done before. And so when people find that joy again, they want to keep that. And it's harder once you start experiencing some of that good to come back into the fight, because the fight's hard. What do you think?
The fight is hard, and nothing worthwhile is easy to obtain, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is a fight. It is a struggle. It's a struggle for us influencers out there to put out the truth, to educate our audience. You know, LWN, it's all about unity, education, and motivation. So I need to unify this country, whether it be blue or red, doesn't matter. We're all in this together. We're all red-blooded Americans. Then we need to educate. So we need to educate the conservative movement. We need to educate liberals and Democrats and independents. And then we need to motivate. We need to get people involved at their local level. And that's a hard conversation to have, because everybody wants to hear about fantasy land. Everybody wants to hear that there's an easy button, that they don't have to get involved. They don't have to do nothing. One person is going to just come back and change everything back to the way it used to be. Or there's a military operation going on. Just sit at home, pop more popcorn, and keep watching the show. Well, I think people are out of popcorn by now, and I think people are out of patience. And some of these conspiracy theories and some of these things that have been put out there, goalposts have been moved multiple times, and I think a lot of people have checked out because of it. Here's something else. During the sickness plandemic, there were a lot of people that actually went back to seeing family. Some people didn't see family because they bought into the narrative, but a lot of us that didn't buy into the narrative, we got closer with our family members. We started to have, we realized real quick what was important in life, which is family. But also what's important in life is this movement and getting our country back. So then you had people that went out, they started fishing. They started doing things, like you said, Amber, that they've never done before. People were fishing and camping because they were stuck in the home. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. A lot of people got addicted to the great outdoors. And so now when things are back to somewhat of normalcy, you know, people are back to work and kids are back to school, in their spare time, they don't want to sit in front of the boob tube. They want to be out doing the things in nature that they enjoy. So how do we educate and motivate those people that, hey, it's great to live life, but we need you in this movement, we need you in this fight, and we need your help to really pay attention to the local level so that we can get the right people in those seats, in those positions at the school board and the city council that can really turn this country around? Because like the great General Flynn says, local action results in national change. And that's the only way that we're truly going to make change is by getting involved. There is no easy button, folks. There is no easy button. It's going to require rolling up your sleeves and getting dirty and getting to work.
One easy way we can get involved is going down to the legislator's office and checking out some committees that are being heard that day and going out and listening. What bills are being presented? What are the arguments for and against? Are they good bills? Are they constitutional bills? How come my state legislator didn't show up to work? How come he doesn't show up to work on a regular basis? He gets a paycheck, doesn't he? But he's not going to. These are things that you won't know unless you go down to the state legislator or my representative. He puts in all the hours and he's there till 10 o'clock at night. I think he needs a raise. Well, we don't know that unless we go down there. And one way we can hold people accountable is if they see us face to face, if they see us showing up in committee all the time, and then we can hold them accountable for their decisions that they made or lack of showing up or the fact giving them kudos and saying, thank you so much for all the hard work and all the hours you're putting in for very little pay, because some of them are working a ton of hours. Some are working hardly any hours. Some are working an average amount of hours. And I think unless we are down there to find out, we can't hold them accountable. Now, I'm not saying spend all your time down there, but figure out a day where you can go down to the Capitol and see what's going on firsthand, because that's really important. Because when you can get down firsthand and see what's going on at the local level, you can create an impact that will ripple to the national level.
I totally agree with you, Amber. And here's another thing. This is where unity comes in, because what you're speaking of as an individual, you as an individual, Amber May, going down there by yourself, going down there and being part of these meetings and these committee meetings and all this stuff. Where unity comes in is if you as a neighborhood get together and start building this unity, I guess group, whatever you want to call it, then it's not Amber May all the time that has to go down there. You can rotate and take turns. So Amber May goes down this month, maybe next month, Mike goes down, maybe the month after Shirley goes down or whoever. And then when you have those meetings in your community, in your neighborhood, then those people that actually go to the meetings can come back and inform everybody on what's going on. So it doesn't take the whole tribe to go down there and be seen, unless it's a bill that needs the whole tribe to be down there and be seen and be heard. But that's what I tried to create, these charters across America, which it fell by the wayside because I just didn't have enough volunteers to get it done. But that was our goal. It was to get at least 12 members in each charter and break them up in groups of three or four to go to city council meetings and go to the school board meeting, so that not everybody had to go. You just had certain people, and then they'd come back and inform the group. So everybody's included, everybody's informed, everybody's being educated on what's going on. I want to talk about the hopium real quick. A lot of this stuff, and I want your viewers to listen to this for just a minute. Do I hope that some of that stuff comes true? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did I buy into some of those narratives? I absolutely did. I was really hoping for some change. But here's the fact of the matter. If you start thinking about it and you go back and rewind 2 years, there was one goalpost that was set, nothing happened. And this is why I think we get PSYOP from both sides of the aisle. We get PSYOP from the left and we get PSYOP from the right, is because even the right side is PSYOPing us. And I don't believe there is two different political parties anymore. I think it's a uniparty. I think it's us versus them. And I think they just take turns in power. So, of course, they're going to have a PSYOP on the right to keep all of us conservatives, all of us America first, all of us American patriots to be stale, to be stagnant, to sit still and do nothing. And I think that PSYOP has worked very well. Think about it. Goalpost number one moved. And every time they start losing a little bit of power, luster, control, to keep you sitting on the sideline, they bring in a new goalpost. They bring in the next person that's a military expert, or they bring in this person that has it all. We've got it all. We captured it all. Or they bring in the next person, and it's always you watch the cycle. It's usually between 3 to 6 months. That's usually when they bring in the next new person that has the next great information that they captured it all. And what it does is it's keeping a lot of Americans either sitting on the couch doing nothing, or it's created this system where people are absolutely sick and tired of the goalposts moving and nothing happening, and they're checking out.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And I think that is a very, very dangerous place for us to be in America today.
It's easy. I could see it. I could see why checking out is such an easy thing, because you're tired of believing a lie or believing something that's going to get fixed and it never does. I mean, they always say the same thing. We have all the receipts. Okay. Show us the receipts. How come law enforcement isn't getting involved? How come arrests aren't being made? At least when Cash Patel was doing the Russiagate stuff, at least department stepped out of office. That's a huge win for me. If we do these hearings and we start seeing heads start saying, oh, I got to take time for my family, I need to step down, I see that as a massive win. But if we don't see those actions, then I'm thinking, is this another PSYOP that we believed in that wasn't true? I want to see action regarding the things that are going on in the world. So what do we have going on in the world we need to fix? We have a huge border issue. The thing that around the border issue that kills me is the trafficking that's involved, human trafficking. This is a human rights issue, and we all should be concerned about people being trafficked, especially the sex trafficking, where they didn't volunteer to be trafficked. They somehow got captured or got thrown into it, and now they have to service a whole bunch of people that they don't. It's rape. It's rape. And these kids are being taken away from their families, never to be reunited, because no law enforcement in the United States even knows the origins of their family. So this is a heartbreaking issue that we have to solve. The other issue we have to solve is the election. My idea right now for Arizona is it's within the plenary power of the state legislator. They need to be running the election. If it's within their power, they need to take their power back from the counties and figure out a way. We have 2 years to run the election. We don't need machines.
Yep.
We need paper ballots in a local precinct. Amen. And running the elections. This is a solvable win. And you know what? Local impact, right? I think us as citizens can partner with our state legislators to say, hey, I'm willing to be a volunteer in a local precinct. So I think we should have a sign up. Let's start contacting your state legislator and say, hey, I'm willing to volunteer to run the state elections with the oversight of the state legislator. And that's local impact. It's one day a year or one day every couple years. So it's not like you need a lot of time. You just need to volunteer one time every couple of years, or at least volunteer the one time. If you're not going to go to the state capitol, you're not going to go to the school board meetings, you're not going to go to city council meetings, here's a big thing that you can do: a national impact, local, right? We can send whoever gets elected in Arizona goes to D.C., right? People can follow what the Arizona state legislator is doing, what the governor is doing, like Ron DeSantis. Local impact, right? National result. What is Ron DeSantis doing? He's a great, and I think there's a psyop, honestly, about him. I think he's a strong candidate, and I think they want to ruin his reputation. And I Absolutely. Think people are buying into a psyop about him. I don't know. Just my impression. When you see someone doing so good, what do they do about Donald Trump? They lied and lied and lied and lied and lied about him. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing the same thing with Ron DeSantis, throwing in support with Democrats to throw people mm-hmm. off. Oh my gosh, maybe he's really on the side of the cabal. I don't think so. I think it's a psyop to get us to not support him, but that's just my observation on that.
I tend to agree with your comment there, Amber. I think that I look at people's actions, and I look at what Ron DeSantis has done since he took office there as governor of Florida. He's done some very amazing things. I think he's put Floridians first. He's put America first. In my opinion, Ron DeSantis is definitely one of the top three, top five best governors in this nation, including Kristi Noem. There's a couple other ones as well that have been great governors. But of course, he's grabbing traction. There is a narrative out there that he may possibly put his name in the hat to run for president of the United States. And I think he should. I really think that we need options. Now, am I a Trump supporter? Of course I am. But I'm also a Ron DeSantis supporter too. And I will always vote for the best person, not mm-hmm. because of name, not because of political party or family stature or any of that stuff. I'm going to vote for the best person that I think can help mm-hmm. change America, get America back on the right track, and make America first. Now, Ron DeSantis, he fits that mold for me, and so does Donald Trump. Now, could we ever see a Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis together on the same ticket? I don't know. I'm not going to go that far in the future and predict that. I think both men would have a hard time taking backseat to each other. But the perfect ticket would definitely be Ron DeSantis as VP and Donald Trump as president, because then we get four more years of Trump, and then turn around and boom, there's Ron DeSantis set up for his first term as president of the United States. I also think Kristi Noem would make a great VP. I think that Carrie mm-hmm. Lake would make a great VP to either Trump or DeSantis. And I think Carrie Lake could make a great president. I think that Kristi Noem could make a great president as well. Mm-hmm. So those four people right there would be at this point, my four top picks. But it's just a lot of stuff that people are checking out, and they're just not getting, they're not caring anymore. They've had enough of the nonsense for the last 2 years, and they're just, I've talked to them every once in a while. They just don't care. They don't care.
It's they've been let down so much by, I got all the receipts and nothing happens, that they're like, I give up. You know, the other thing that's been really bothering me is all the train derailments. What's up with that? And especially, how come none of the environmentalists are upset about East Palestine? So when we have all these train derailments they're the ones who supply the goods and services across the United States, I have a feeling mm-hmm. we're going to see a shortage of a lot of goods and services. Mm-hmm. Goods and services for several, when we have one, like we saw when, what was it, last year, what was her name? Lee Dundas. She had a big to do in California, and they were talking about how if the train stopped running for so many days, we would see shelves being emptied, and that did come true. And so now we have all these train derailments. And then the funny thing is, not funny, haha, but like interesting, several of them had chemicals, hazardous chemicals. I know it was in Arizona, I think Texas, Michigan, Ohio, so many other states. Like they keep coming up. What's your opinion on that? I'm curious.
Well, I just had a great conversation last night with some wonderful people from Ohio, and we talked about the train derailments. Now, conspiracy, speculation on not just my part, but a lot of people out there. I think it could be a trial run for Dirty Bomb to see how easy would it be for them to roll something in on a train and destroy a conservative area. That's just speculation. That's just my crazy thinking, okay? But here's the facts. If you want the facts is that O'Biden failed at making that policy and creating the union, the railroad union, to be able to go back to work. They had some kind of temporary agreement. It fell through, and that's causing some problems with the railroads right now. But let's talk about infrastructure, Amber May, and let's talk about the infrastructure of the railroad, because I got some very important information last night that the railroads are really hurting right now with infrastructure. So there is what they call a hot box, which is supposedly, I think it's every 20 miles on a rail system, that actually has some type of camera or some type of, I don't know, X-ray or some type of technology that as the train is passing by, it's focused like on the wheel bearings of the train. Now, they claim if a wheel bearing goes out on one of those cars, it can derail a train. Well, they're not using those anymore. They're not using the experts because of cost. So that's part of the infrastructure. The rails themselves and maintenance on the rails are going to the wayside. They're not doing that as often as they used to because of cost. So I think infrastructure on the rails is a huge thing on why these trains are derailing. And it's no different than the power grid. It's no different than driving through Denver, Colorado, and trying to swerve potholes the size of a Volkswagen. Infrastructure in this country is deteriorating at a rapid pace, and there is no plan in place to really fix that stuff. So I think those derailing trains, it has a lot to do with infrastructure.
And that could be totally true. It could be totally true. But here, didn't we just pass an infrastructure bill?
$1.7 trillion.
And did it go to fixing the trains? I don't think so.
I think some of it, I think $500 million went to East Jordan and a couple of countries over there to protect their sovereign borders. So it went for border protection. We sent, I think it was $45 billion to Ukraine. Yeah, money has been spent all over the place, just not here in America.
Wow. And look at the hazard that went with the East Palestine. I mean, the water is
bad.
So toxic. The air, I would imagine, is still toxic. Maybe not, but I mean, the water alone, it's toxic environment. And where is the outcry
from
the environmentalists?
Here's some more information on that in Ohio. The Ohio River contributes to 10% of America's water resource. Ooh. Okay, that's what I was told. And the chemicals that combined with all this derailment there formed a product that doesn't go away. So it doesn't go away with time. It doesn't go away with snow or rain or sunshine or anything. Ooh. It sticks around in the soil for a very long time. So I got word that Mike Adams is actually working on, he purchased a new lab. I don't know what that means, but he's working on a testing system where you can test your water, test your soil. I think they said somewhere around 40,000 animals have died in that Ohio area. This has actually affected people 4 miles away. What I asked was, where does the Ohio River dump into? What does it contribute to? Well, I believe, and I'm not 100% positive on this, I believe the Ohio River dumps into either the Missouri or the Mississippi, which goes all the way to the ocean. So environmental impact is more than just Ohio. I think they said it impacted something like 10 or 12 states along the Ohio. So this is a huge, huge environmental issue. The current White House and administration has not put out any kind of sense of emergency or concern about this. This is a big deal, Amber May.
Yeah, and so let's go back to what they like to push, this carbon stuff and the methane stuff, okay, which is natural. That God, you know, it's, we need this fertilizer, we need cows to do what they're going to do, okay? But they want to punish, especially, it's really bad in Holland. There's a documentary coming out from James Patrick about how they're destroying the cattle industry in Holland. Now they're going to try and do it here. Look at all this fake meat, right? This Beyond Beef stuff. So they're concerned about methane and cows doing whatever cows do, but they're not concerned at all about what's going on in East Palestine.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So, do you like to start your day off with a cup of coffee? What if I told you you could get a cup of coffee that not only helps rejuvenate your mind, get you going in the morning, but it could reduce stress? What would you say? Well, I have just the solution for you. I have the Java Boost right here. It's delicious. It's the most creamy, delicious vanilla coffee that is infused with antioxidants from muscadine, ginger, and turmeric. It eliminates cravings, it helps support healthy blood chemistry, and it promotes healthy weight loss. When have you ever heard of a coffee that helps promote healthy weight loss? So if you want a coffee that's delicious, creamy, vanilla, helps reduce stress and fatigue, and helps promote healthy weight loss, then you want to grab Java Boost for yourself. And the easiest way to do that is going to cupahealth.com. That's cupahealth.com. Use promo code Amber May at checkout.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to the Amber May Show.
So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, oh, this smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're gonna save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So herosoapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So these two individuals actually interviewed somebody who is part of the EPA, and they asked them straight up the question, is burning chemicals in the, do you guys have a contingency plan? That was one of the questions. Do you guys have a contingency plan in case of a derailment like this? And the answer was yes. And the next question was, well, in the contingency plan, what is there anything that states that you're going to burn these chemicals? The answer came back as no. Why would they burn those chemicals? That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, my husband, he has done some schooling by the government when it comes to chemicals, and he told me as soon as he saw that, I'm not sure. I should have asked, right? This is how much I cared, right? But he's gone to schooling for chemicals and things like that, and he said, yeah, a burn like that, if it's that bad, then yeah, that could happen. But then when he saw after effects, he's like, then he kind of second guessed. His first reaction was like, well, that's normal, because in this situation, we would burn, blah, blah, blah. And then when he looked at, when more information was coming out, then he was like, I don't know then if that was quite the right move to make. So in some cases, burning is the best move for the situation, but not in all situations. According to the schooling he's gotten from, I think it's the federal government that's given him, and he went to school and did some of this stuff, so... In some cases,
well,
I would
I've had entry-level hazmat training, entry-level, because when I worked in North Dakota and Wyoming, I had to have entry-level hazmat training for spills. Plus, I had to have hazmat training for being an owner of oil filled trucks. And so if you had a leak on an oil pipe, and of course we working in the oil field, and some of your listeners who may have been in the oil field too, it doesn't always work this way. A lot of people turn a blind eye. A lot of people just kind of kick some dirt on it and move on, right? But technically, in a hazmat situation, you're supposed to dig the soil up, right? Now, on a major spill, they will actually go in there with track hose, and they are required to dig 30 feet straight down and a certain circumference around the spill to try to get up all of that toxic soil and then have it replaced, right? I didn't see any of this stuff happen on these train wrecks. So is it the right protocol? Is it the right thing happening? I don't know. One of the other questions was, how come the tanks that still had chemicals in it, how come they didn't transfer those chemicals into another tank? How come you couldn't bring another train up, empty, pump those chemicals into another car? How come you couldn't bring, and I didn't look at all the photos, but was there a possibility that you could bring in 18-wheelers, like a water truck or something like that, and be able to pump those chemicals into another container and haul them off with a truck? I think that those options were probably on the table. I would say they were probably on the table, but I don't think any of that spill was really taken seriously enough to do it the right way. I think it was just a Hail Mary.
And sometimes the fact that there's nothing being said is so deafening, you know. Sometimes the lack of action is very deafening, and that's
about how they did it wrong. You talk about how they did it wrong. So there's no discussion coming out of the White House about this, Amber May.
Right.
They don't care about the environmental impact that this is having, but they care about how much we breathe, how much cows fart. They care about how much our combustible engines are putting out carbon dioxide. They want to have a social credit score where we get dinged if we're putting out too much carbon footprint. But yet they send money to Ukraine to help with their border. They send money to Jordan to help with their border, and our border's wide open. So that's the stark differences between conservative views and their wild circus views. And that's the difference between the Trump administration and the current administration. Is Trump put America first, wanted border security, and he would have dealt with this already, which he's already made a trip out there to Ohio.
Yeah, and that's what even started our elected officials now even giving a damn, because he finally did something as a leader. People look to him, you know, still, even though he's not occupying the White House, people still look to him. And I think he did the right thing because it prompted those in office to do something, because it made him look bad that they did nothing and they're still doing nothing. And it's just garbage.
Yeah. I heard that he went down there and he was, I think he donated food, or he was helping like he always helps. And of course the left grabbed those sound bites and tried to make it out to be something it wasn't. Of course, like you said, DeSantis doing a wonderful job from Florida. What do they do? Attack him. Donald J. Trump did a wonderful job for America. What do they do? Attack him. Biden, worst president in U.S. history, hasn't done anything good for America. Crickets.
Crickets. Yeah. And honestly, he kind of lied when he bought, he was buying votes, because look at what's happening with the student loan thing. Whether you're for or against, that's on the, I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about, he promised all these people, if you vote for me, I'm going to wipe out your debt. And what's going on today? There's still student loan debt. No one got their debt wiped away.
How about
away.
This
so
one?
All those people who was told that got lied to just so that they would vote for him.
How about this one? If you vote for me, I'll wipe out the sickness.
Oh, that's true too.
He said that. He did say that. If you vote for me, I'll wipe it all out. I'll destroy it all. I'll get it all taken care of. And they haven't done anything since. It's Not that they can. There's nothing they can to. It's a virus. Right. You're never going to completely kill it. Right. It's going to continue to mutate and go on to the next thing. I mean, you don't have to be a scientist to know that stuff. And I feel sorry for the people that bought into those horrible narratives and rushed out there and decided to pump that stuff into their body or continue. I still see people around here every once in a while putting one of those things on their face. And I just cannot believe that they're still buying into this. I saw a lady, no joke. I saw a lady the other day who was at a cash register, had one of those things on her face. And then when she went to pay and get her stuff from the attendant there, she actually put on plastic gloves and was very careful about touching all the stuff and putting it in her bag. She was so afraid of that stuff. I just felt horrible for her to be programmed that way. You know, it's comply, compliance. And that's what that whole thing was about. It was a test run to see how many people would honestly buy into the narrative and comply to give up. You know, Benjamin Franklin said this, how many people would comply and give up a little bit of their liberty for a little bit of safety? Benjamin Franklin said this, for anybody who's willing to give up a little bit of liberty for a little bit of safety deserves neither. Saying, hey, listen, you're enjoying your life now. We can enjoy life a whole lot more if we could start making a local impact here and changing policies that don't make sense. We need to go into our local governments and gut these policies that inhibit us from having the pursuit of happiness. You know, I think that's a key is really, we're not going to do it behind a camera or a mic. We're going to have to be out there with the people, engaging with them, having conversation, listening to their concerns, listening to the policies that they don't like. That's what politicians should be doing. Now, I'm not saying that I want to do that because I want to become a politician. I want to do that because I think it's important to connect on that level with my audience. And I think it's important to connect on that level with just average, everyday Americans that maybe might want to be part of my listening audience someday, but to try to come together and unify and figure out what solutions can we design to solve these issues that we're having here in America. And running away from the problem, you know, I look at America as a marriage. It's so easy right now for a married couple to just throw in the towel and get divorced. I think the last statistic that I read was somewhere around 50% of all marriages in America end in divorce. That's one out of two. That's horrible. That's the easy way out. Anybody can file for divorce and walk away. It's the same thing with American politics. It's the same thing with American policy. It's the same thing with the direction of America. It's easy to just check out and go live your life. It doesn't affect me. And for those people that make $100,000+ a year and high gas prices and stuff like that, doesn't really affect them as much as it does with somebody who's on the lower end of income like that, that it does affect us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like you're choosing between buying bread and milk or putting gas in your car so you can keep going to work. You're depending on, do I pay the power bill this month or the internet bill this month? Those people that are affected like that are going to be more involved than the people that it doesn't really affect as much. And I could be put in that category. I could go back to work and I could make $100,000+ a year and I could go on about my life and I could really care less about what happens and who gets elected. But that's not the choice that I made. So I think what we got to do is engage with people, educate them and motivate them to say, hey, listen, I'm in this as an American for all Americans, not just for an individual, but for all of us, that we all need to come together and we all need to really push hard to take this country back, because just a handful of us, it's a lot of hard work. And what do they say? Many hands make light work. That's what we need. We need many hands to make light work. Otherwise, for those of us who are standing up, it's going to be a long, tall mountain to climb, and we're willing to do it, but we could use, you know, a lot of help.
You've made a great point. So another problem that we have in the United States that needs to be addressed is the massive amount of inflation. And until we engage with our local level, okay, which will have a national impact, then there's a whole section of our people who are really hurting. And those people have children. Again, I always go back to the children. So no parent wants to starve their children. No parent should have to wonder, am I going to have power on? Can I even afford my rent or mortgage? And my state, it has gone crazy with real estate. The price to buy a house, the price to rent a place, it's horrible. It's unaffordable, I think.
Why do you think I'm living in a fifth wheel? Why do you think I'm living in a fifth wheel? I went and I paid cash for a fifth wheel, and I'm living as cheap as I possibly can because I didn't feel like it was a wise financial decision for me to go rent an apartment for $2,000 a month. That's twice what I paid for a home. So why would I pay those high prices? And until we all come together in unity and do exactly what you're talking about, Amber May, is getting involved and really working on policies in our local level, we're not going to make that change. We need policies that put America first, like Donald Trump had between 2017 and 2020. We need either Donald Trump back with those same policies, or we need somebody like Ron DeSantis, Kristi Noem, or somebody who's going to come in and put America first, drill baby drill, open this stuff back up, get the Keystone Pipeline finished, get the border finished, and put Americans first. Because there is nobody, and I mean nobody, that can ever convince me that life was not better under the Trump administration other than any other administration 20, 30 years ago, even. You know, there's just nobody that can convince me of that. He went in, he got rid of regulations, he cut taxes, and he put Americans first, and that's what we need.
That's what we need. And if we want to take back our country, then we can't sit on the sidelines. I say we need a healthy balance. I want you to go and enjoy your family. I want you to go enjoy things that make you happy, because that's important. We need a balance. It can't be bad all the time. You can't just focus on how bad everything is in a nation and never enjoy the things that God gave you. He gave you a family, and he wants you to have fun, right? So do those things. Take care of your family. But then also you have to carve out some time in some way, in some capacity, that you have to start getting involved in our country, because for too long we've sat on the sidelines doing nothing, absolutely doing nothing. And then with a lot of psyops going on, hey, trust the plan, do this, everything's going to work out. There's a plan in place. You and I are the plan. And they don't want us to be the plan, because you know why? Do you know why they put a fence up around Washington, D.C. right after Donald Trump lost the election?
Yeah, they were afraid what we were going to do.
They were afraid of you and I. It's okay for them to have a wall, but it's not okay for Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and California to have a wall. But it's okay for Washington, D.C. to have a wall, but it's not okay for anyone else. It's good for me, but not for thee. So if you're tired of good for me, but not for thee, if you're tired of starving, if you're tired of wondering, how am I going to pay my electric bill? How am I going to put a roof over my kid's head? If you're tired of all this stuff, then now is our time to get involved and be united on the peace and unity train. I love that about Liberty Cowgirl. Shout out to Liberty Cowgirl right now, because she's about that. And we're protecting. We need to start protecting each other. You and I as American citizens, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. I really don't care. It's about good policies that are going to allow people to thrive and live life to the pursuit of happiness, right? I don't think right now when people are wondering, do I put gas in my car? How much food can I buy this week? Do I have enough to make rent? I don't think that is pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I really don't think so. And then if we're not stepping up to protect the kids, then what are we? We are horrible grown-ups. It's our duty to protect children. It is our duty to protect the children. And I've heard on several guests talk about those in the medical field. Well, if I say that, I'm going to lose my job. I understand that that's a big pressure when you are a head of a family and you have a bill to feed, but at some point you do have to look yourself in the mirror. And if you don't say stuff when you know you need to be saying stuff that will protect children, how can you look yourself in the mirror? You know, now is our time with whatever realm God gave us an influence on to start taking back that power. He put us all in different places. For some of us, it's media. For some of us, it's entertainment. For some of us, it's in politics. And sometimes they overlap. Like in my case, Never in a million years would I think I would ever write a bill in my life. Never in a million years would you think I'd ever know this many elected officials in Arizona. Never in a million years would I have ever thought I could meet anyone in a president's family. Never in a million years would I have ever thought I would meet a general. Never in a million years I would think I'd know people across the country. I mean, there's so many things. So God, in my life, he has kind of put me in different in spheres. I'm a mom. I'm a precinct committeeman. I'm involved in politics. I'm writing a bill. I'm trying to educate people the best I can on the platform, getting the information out. Because it's hard. I went to journalism school, and you're supposed to tell truth, right? You're supposed to look into it and tell truth. And that's what my goal has always been on my show. Now, I could get bad intel. I'm not saying I'll never get bad intel, but I try really hard to put the product out here so you guys know what's going on, so people know where the laps are and can fill in the gaps.
Absolutely. And to the point of America first, if we have an American first president like DeSantis or Trump or Kerry Lake or, Kristi Noemann, if we would all become America first patriots and unite out there, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, you know, it'd be nice to get America first candidates that would sit at the table with all political backgrounds. And you know, when I used to run companies, I used to sit at the table with some of my top advisors, and we would come up with, different plans on how to fix an issue that we had out in the oil field. And sometimes I might take a little bit from this one and a little bit from that one and a little bit from that one to design what I thought was the best package scenario to fix the problem. And sometimes you'll go out and you'll fail. And you got to come back to the drawing board and say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try the next best thing, right? And I think that's what America needs. We need to be able to sit at the table with everybody and really figure out, how are we going to fix the southern border? How are we going to fix infrastructure? How are we going to fix the deficit that just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing? How do we fix inflation? You know, I think the biggest point on how to fix inflation is, hey, wake up, quit spending. Okay, if you quit spending our money, we might be able to curb inflation a little bit. But they just keep printing more and more money. You know, it's horrible to sit there and see the destruction of America. And a lot of people, again, the topic for today is people checking out. People are just checking out. But this is going to affect you somewhere down the line. It's either going to affect your parents, the baby boomers who are trying to retire and keep their retirement with this high inflation and all this stuff. They're taking 401ks. They're taking it at the federal level. You think they're going to stop at the federal level? No, they're going to come after your 401k in the private sector too. So yeah, you might be out there making $200,000 a year, and you might have a brand new big jacked up truck with a nice trailer to pull behind it and a boat and four wheelers and all this other stuff. But mom and pop over here, your parents, you know, they're on a fixed income, and they've got a little pension coming in, and they're happy and they're content. But this inflation is going to eat up their 401ks and their pensions, and then they're going to relying on you. So this does affect everybody, and this is a huge problem that, again, I think Americans need to come to the table as Americans and quit the division, quit the inner fighting, and say, okay, obviously the person running the country right now is not the right person. We need to get them out. We need to get America First candidate back in office, and we need to build America the way it was meant to be built, which I think we were on the right track in 2017.
You know, LW, I was in church this Sunday, and the pastor was talking about Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read it to you. And it says, it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. And it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And when that was said, what came to my mind is what I observed in the state legislature, that there's one party in particular right now that doesn't matter who put forth legislation that helps the people and is constitutional, they're going to vote no against it. And if what came to my mind is thinking, if I sat as a state legislator, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen because it could, I just don't know about it, but I was thinking, how could I put that verse into action? Because when you love someone who hates you and you treat someone good, that treats you poorly, it starts changing their heart towards you. And so my idea was, if I was a state, and this could be used in any realm, whether it's at work, in the next cubicle, or any realm, this could work, I think. I'd like your opinion on this. If I'm a state legislator, I think I'd want to start befriending my colleague in the opposite party. And maybe I'd say, hey, we're going to be spending a lot of time together. Can I take you out to lunch? I'd like to buy you lunch, get to know you. Maybe we can help each other with bills, push each other's bills back and forth, and start building a relationship instead of this, I don't like you just because you're blue and I'm red, or I'm red and you're blue. What do you think the impact would have if we saw state legislators do this across the country, started saying, hey, I'd like to take you out for coffee. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to take you out for lunch. Can I take you out to lunch? Let me get to know you as a person. And then saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we can help each other, because it's hard to be in a political divisive situation where if I'm red and you're blue, you'll never vote for me and I'll never vote for you. If we start putting out that piece, that, you know, that the olive branch, how would that transform our country? And again, this could work on a micro level at work. It could work on so many, your neighbor that just hates you so much. I don't know. This, what do you think about that? Am I just like totally crazy for thinking this could happen? Is this my utopia thing going like, wait a minute, you know, this would, in a perfect world, like, what do you think about that idea?
I think that at work, at church, at home, I think that works really well. The only issue that I see in politics is the fact that if you don't have term limits to back that up, they're already doing that, Amber May. They're already coming together. They're already having dinner. They're figuring out how to stay in control, stay in power, how to become wealthy beyond measure. That's what they're doing. But your idea, reinforced with term limits to where they only had 4 years or they only had 6 years to get things done, then I think that would drive that sense of urgency that, hey, we do need to come to the table and we do need to work together. But again, with God first and then country second, because if we don't put God back in this country, we're never going to get anywhere anyway. And if we don't put America back to being first, that's an issue for me too. So yeah, I think your idea is great. But again, I really think, in my opinion, it needs to be reinforced with term limits, because Nancy Pelosi and them are already doing it. They've been doing it for decades and decades and decades. Mm-hmm. They've been going to dinner. They're the same bird of same feather, different, same, whatever that saying is.
I know what that is.
I mess it up all the time, but they're already doing it. They're already working together. They're having dinners together. They're plotting and planning against us.
No, I'm not talking about Congress, because you're right. There's no term limit. I'm talking about legislators, state legislators being local. How would that
work? I think that's a great idea. I think it could work. I absolutely think that if I was to run for a position like that, I agree with you 100%. I think if I was to go to the state legislator, I would really try to get to know everybody and see if we can't work across the aisle and make policies that better, you know, Arizona or better Idaho, since I'm here in Idaho or whatever, and get rid of restrictions, because restrictions, I think, is a huge burden for all of us. And here in Idaho, we have some major restrictions when it comes to logging and other things that just kill and impact Idaho in a negative way. So, yeah, I think it can be done, but I think it can be done to the federal level too, but it has to have you have to have term limits. And mm-hmm. if we could accomplish that, I think we could accomplish a lot in D.C.
Because I'm not talking about the establishment, because you're right. They're already doing all that stuff. It's all show. It's all show for you and
I. We need new blood. We need new blood with your idea of working together and backed with term limits. And once we start getting rid of the old hags that have been in there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and we get some new blood in there and they know that they only have two terms to get things done, I could see them working at a local level. I could see that working at city council. I could see that working at a school board. I think there should be term limits at school boards. I think there should be term limits in city council. I think there should be term limits at the county level as well, because we have county commissioners that have been county commissioners for 20, 30 years back home in my little hometown. We need term limits everywhere, because if you don't have term limits, it gives all people, including your legislators, an opportunity to become corrupt. They become bought by special interest groups and lobbyists. Even at the state level, they get bought and paid for. So I think it's a lot of hard work, but I think it can be done.
Well, LW, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I want to thank you for coming on my program. I want people to find you. So where can they find you?
The best way is just to go to libertywarriornation.com. We're on Twitter. Twitter is LWN2022. You can find us on Truth Social, Liberty Warrior Nation. We're on Facebook, Liberty Warrior Nation. We're also on Rumble at Liberty Warrior Nation. We're everywhere trying to put out good news. And again, LWN, we want to unite, educate, motivate.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program today. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Anytime.